Hi, it's Andrea Cunliffe here with Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm speaking with Catherine Ambrosio, who's an actress, an award-winning playwright, a marathon runner, a watercolorist, a filmmaker. How do you find time to write a novel?
I wrote a lot of it when I was laid off from my job this spring and summer. I found I had a lot of free time. Because of COVID, we just didn't come to work for a while. I had the novel going. I had a couple of drafts of it, but it still needed a lot of work. From March to through August, I worked on it very steadily. You know, I wrote every day. It was great. Great to have that block of time.
The yes. House on Sutherland Avenue is the title of the novel. A major slice of life in the 50s in St. Louis.
Well, it started out, I started writing a memoir, actually. I wanted to turn it into a novel because I just wasn't satisfied with episodic chapters. I wanted it to tie together and tell a story. So I changed it into a novel. But it began with my childhood and my family.
Is it partially then autobiographical?
It's partially so, but I do think of the little girl in the story as a fictional me.
Each chapter is like such a lovely story. It's a whole complete unit on its own. And it makes it really easy to pick up, read a couple chapters, and then put it down and then go back to it.
I enjoyed writing it. It was fun for me to write a little story that was almost complete in of itself, but yet it connected to the next one and the next one. And it was a lot of work, and there are times when writing is not fun, I have to admit. It's very frustrating sometimes where you just can't seem to make it work. Ultimately, it was a great pleasure to write the book.
Well, it's been really successfully received, and it was only published first.
The end of August.
You really have a strong understanding of these characters and their background. And I'm wondering, you know, so many times I've thought that theater had a lot to do with psychology, understanding how actors can embrace a character. Mm-hmm. And you've actually embraced so many characters in this book. They're really rounded and interesting.
Yeah.
So did you find that theater really came into play with writing this novel?
I think theater has informed a lot of things in my life. Went into it at a young age. It can be brutal, you know, the theater, and hurtful and hard. But you learn so much in the process of, as you say, embracing characters and just wondering what makes them work and what motivates them to do things. I started playwriting before I started this fiction writing journey that I'm on now. And it was such a natural segue from being an actor. Instead of just embracing one character and learning about them, you learn about all the characters and how they interact. So I'm taking it to another level now, and I'm writing books.
When I was reading this, an image kept coming into my mind of Norman Rockwell, and I kept thinking, there's something Norman Rockwell-ish about this book.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It made me smile a lot.
What's made me feel good is hearing feedback from other people saying them at their childhood and you know, made them feel good. And I would love to actually do reading from the book at some of these book tours, which most places have suspended them for the time being.
Well, it would be great if you'd read a piece for us.
All right.
That would be fun. I'd love that.
All right. Okay. Chapter one, waiting. I like to sit on the front entryway of our red brick house on Sutherland Avenue in St. Louis. It was a square concrete slab, just the right size for me. Two ceramic urns on either side of the small porch held pansies, still in bloom on this mid-September morning. The air smelled fresh and clean. This was my favorite place for thinking about things. A large elm stood in the grass mall between the sidewalk and the street, providing an umbrella canopy. The sunlight dappled the area below the tree with shadows of its oval zigzaggy leaf. A gentle breeze made the lacy shadows dance. I wondered how the tree had gotten so gigantic and if it could think thoughts about itself. I wondered if it could feel happy and sad. I wondered if it could know my thoughts. I had a feeling it could. I felt safe with the mighty moon that stood watch over our house. With a swoosh, a crow flew down and sat on a limb. He looked me right in the eye, and I looked right back. I waited to see what he would do. He kept staring at me. Then he finally looked away. He was beautiful, very black, but with hints of iridescent blue in his wing feathers. His black beak bore a distinctive yellow triangle. He looked like he was waiting for something or someone. I was waiting too. Usually I waited for my older cousins, Maddie and Theo, to come home from school. It was a very quiet morning with little traffic on our street. A Nash Rambler station wagon drove up to the yellow and tan brick house to the left of us.
Thanks very much, Catherine, for reading that wonderful beginning of chapter one of your book, The House on Sutherland Avenue. And I know your book's available locally too. We've got it at Chatham Bookstore in Chatham. I Love Books in Del Mar. I think that's your local bookstore, isn't it? Northern Bookshop in Saratoga Springs. Oh, The Spotty Dog at Hudson's. At the Market Block Books in Troy. What's next for you? What are you going to be doing now? I know you made two films while we were all quarantined.
We did. It's crazy. Like, we made one, Ralph and I, my husband Ralph, and my sidekick and my great helper in life and my editor and my everything. He directed a little piece of fiction that I wrote called Flesh Fiction, or it's just very short fiction. And we took that and we adapted it to a screenplay. And we filmed it on our phone camera. Our son, Elliot Ambrosio, he's a filmmaker, edited it for us. And it really was quite good, I thought, for the quality of the film on our Android camera. And then we filmed The Train to Moscow, a short play I wrote a few years ago. We filmed that, and Ralph and I played the characters, and Elliot was the director and filmed it.
And that was on location, wasn't it?
On location, but not in Siberia. Although one of the days, the first day we went to film it, it felt like Siberia, and it was so cold and windy that the sound guy said, we can't do this today because we can't hear you over the wind.
But that was done where?
Altamont. Altamont Library is a historic building that used to be the Altamont train station. It's very beautiful. Awfully wonderful about letting us do it there.
So now that you've done the house on Sutherland Avenue, are you working on another?
I am. I'm working on a new book. Okay. I'm excited about it.
Are you going to give us a taste of what it's about?
Just a taste, because it's not good to talk about things you're currently working on. Kind of keep them to yourself. Let's see, but it's set in Dutchess County, and that's about all I'm going to say.
That's great.
Title: it's called Wild Asparagus.
Okay, that's good. I like that title. Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
Catherine Ambrosio, for coming here and sharing your information about what your life is like as an actor and a playwright and a novelist and a marathon runner. And your watercolors are fascinating. So you're a busy woman.
Thank you. I do too much. Oh, well.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you about your new book, Wild Asparagus.
Okay.
Keep well. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Andrea.